Terry Saul Show. 5. Roll tape. 4. Cue Terry. 3. Bring audio up. 2. Stand by. 1. Play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you are joining us. And today is going to be a special show because I've been looking forward to this for a long time. This gal is, I consider, a friend, but more important, I'm one of her biggest fans. She was a member of the San Francisco Bay Bombers roller derby team. Now, I'm talking the original roller derbies back in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. These are the people that skated in the bank track. Most of the games came from Kezar Pavilion. In San Francisco. I used to see her every Monday night at the San Jose Civic Auditorium. She's only 4'11". She was under 100 pounds, and she was the queen of the derby. Well, of course, we're talking about Carol Peanuts Myers. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm doing great. First of all, thank you very much. I've been wanting to do this interview for a long time, and it was just one of those trying to piece both of our schedules together there, so I'm excited to have you with us. Where are you right now? You're in Turlock, California. Is that where you're living now?
That's where I'm living, in the valley. Love it here.
It's fun area there. I've got a sister-in-law that lives not too far away, and we go down there and we just really enjoy it.
Where I moved, which was a shock, we skated across the street right from where I'm at now.
Serious?
To skate there. Yeah. And I said, of all places, I remember skating our outdoor games here.
Really?
In Turlock.
Can you still have your skates?
Sure. I do. I have my skates.
You ever put them on a skate across the street?
No, because it'll ruin my wheels.
There you go. Carol, let's start from the beginning now. Where were you born and raised?
I'm a San Francisco original.
Okay.
Born and raised in San Francisco.
All right. Back in October? October 10th, weren't you born? Is that your birthday?
10-10-42.
And you grew up going to school in San Francisco. How did you first get the bug about roller derby?
Let's put it this way. I think I was about 7 or 8 years old. Watching TV, a thing came up called The Mad World.
Okay.
And all I remember is this lady, which turned out to be Annie Cavello, if I'm not mistaken, had her jersey ripped off and the water was going all over the place. I loved skating anyway. Not too soon after that, roller derby came to the Cow Palace. So, you know, us neighborhood kids, we never paid to get in because we didn't have the money to, but we would sneak in and go watch them. We had a little section that we all would sit in there, and I just went bananas. I just loved it. I said, that was for me. I just loved it. There was just no getting away from it. I wanted to be a roller derby skater.
Was there a training center at that time?
No, I was only about 9 or 10 years old.
Okay.
I didn't even know that.
Okay.
So it was, let me see, I'm trying to think, when it came to San Francisco again, was at the San Francisco Armory, and I was like 15 and a half years old.
Okay.
That's when I had to get a release and all this kind of stuff notarized that I could skate the bank track at the training. So I trained a little bit there. I can't remember exactly how long they were skating there, but it wasn't too soon after they left. Then the training center was open.
And was that the one that was open and run by the great Buddy Atkinson, Sr.?
What training I had there at the Armory was George Cadunas.
Okay.
And then I don't know if him and Buddy, because I remember George Cadunas, which was a skater, which I never knew that he skated also, that they had a training center in, I guess it was Alameda.
Okay.
Borderline Oakland, Alameda,
right,
someplace.
Right.
Then I went there.
How long did you train before you got picked up on a team?
Well, let me see. In 1959... is when I skated.
Yeah, you were first signed by the Bay Bombers in April of 1959.
Correct.
So you went right onto the Bomber team, which is the home team in the Bay Area there.
Right, and which I was shocked. I was just shocked because they had me as a fill-in from the year before, just like to be sitting. I remember sitting on the bench just in case some girls didn't show up or something. Then the next thing I know, Jerry calls me, asks me if I still wanted to skate. And in fact, he was looking for me because we had moved, so nobody really had my phone number or anything, and I had to go to the training center, and I believe that's how he was able to find me again. And I said, sure, I want to skate.
And they put you on the Bay Bombers. We're talking with Carol Penis-Meyer, a member of the San Francisco Bay Bombers original roller derby team. Who was your first women's captain? Was it Annis Jensen or was it Ann Covello? I don't think Ann Covello was captain. I think it was Annis Jensen, wasn't it?
It was Annis Jensen.
Yeah, Covello. Annis Big Red Jensen.
Right.
All right, can I tell you a secret, Carol? I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? This is just between you and me, okay, Carol? Annis Jensen was my first celebrity crush. I met her, I was like 7 years old. And do you remember every Labor Day, they would have the annual Labor Day picnic at the San Jose ballpark, and there would be this softball game. And I've got a video, I'll tell you about that a little bit later on, with you playing in that game where you ran around second base, took a spill on second base, and Ken Monty was standing on your feet, wouldn't let you up. The fans were ready to charge him. I've got that on video. Annis Jensen was the very first celebrity I ever had a chance to meet, and I was 7 years old and shy, and she came up, and my mom's got the video camera going, and Annis puts her arm around me, and we're walking together. She's got her arm around me. I'm in heaven. I'm thinking, like, Annis Jensen.
She was just such a warm person. She was the easiest person to work with, you know, in any kind of business. She was she laughed a lot. Nothing seemed to bother her.
Yeah.
But when she did get mad, look out.
Okay, so you're on the Bay Bombers now, 1959. You know, I'm just looking over at some of these accolades that you had. I mean, you were roller derby queen in 1962. You were the most valuable player in 64. You were on the All-Star team in 61, 63, 64, 65, 67, 69. I'm getting exhausted just reading these things here. Really quickly made yourself into a star, didn't you?
You know, like I said, I wasn't looking to make myself a star. I just love the game, you know, and I just try to push myself as far as I can push myself in making it, you know, just keep working it. I just loved it. There's just no getting away from it. I loved roller derby. I wish that I wasn't the age I am now and I continue skating.
Well, you could still do it. You're only in your 40s. You could still do it.
Oh, sure, I will.
Carol, what was the easiest part of skating on that track? Because that track is a bank track. And I'll tell you, I remember when Joni Weston had her training center over there in Hayward. I mean, I was an announcer for 100 years with this thing there. Well, I got on the track and put some skates on and realized it's not as easy as it looks. You guys made it look so simple and so easy, but it wasn't. What was your biggest awakening when you got on that track the first time?
That I was there. My dream. That was my dream. That's what woke me. I just loved it. I just had to be a roller derby skater. I'm on this track, and this was something that I always wanted. Even though I kept telling my family, they thought I was crazy, but they knew that I would succeed, that I would, because when I want something, I get it. That's what I wanted to do.
But and Carol, you're only 4'11". You're only 4'11". Were you intimidated by some of these big girls? I mean, there were some big girls out there.
I remember, I'm 4'11 and a half.
I'm sorry. I'll throw in that half. You weren't intimidated?
I loved it. Pardon me?
You weren't intimidated by some of these big gals out there?
No, because I was a tomboy. And I would, you know, run the neighborhood crazy. And we would play and wrestle and fight. And, you know, it was just rough and tumble back in them days, you know. We didn't care. I didn't care. I never really realized, though, that I was short because I was taller than my mom. So to me, I was okay, you know.
It's that extra 6 inches, that extra 6 inches that helped.
My brother that always wanted a fight was taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
I beat him up all the time. And if he was alive, he'd tell you, because I would do it. He wouldn't. But I was around. I was a tomboy, let's put it that way. You know, climb the trees, climb the... We had this one place that had a wash house, and we would jump off the roof onto the ground and see how far we can go. It's a wonder I didn't
Yowch.
Break an ankle there.
Yes. No,
yes.
You didn't. But you did have some injuries, though, through the years of roller derby, though. I've got some pictures of you wearing with a cast on a foot. I have a picture of you and your late husband, Tony, both sitting on a couch, and you both have a cast on. What the heck is going on?
I had to have surgery. He injured his, but I had to have surgery. I had a knee replacement.
Was that because of roller derby?
Yeah.
What are some of the injuries you had over the years?
Oh, gosh. I've had both shoulders. One shoulder was done 3 times where they sewed it and tied it down because it was so bad that I couldn't pick it up. I can now, but for quite a while, I couldn't pick it up the way I wanted to. So I had one shoulder, had one surgery my other shoulder had two shoulder surgeries, excuse me, it's a tongue-tied. And the reason why is because I was using it when I shouldn't have been using it, but that was just me. It didn't hurt, but then I felt that something was wrong, and I went and they had to redo the surgery again. And then I had three knee surgeries, which one was replaced. I have both my ankles done because I broke the it's like one bone above the ball of your ankle. I fractured them. And I'm not talking about stitches in your head and on your eyes, above your eyes. On my chin, I had a nice one. So, and there's probably more that I can't remember. But they were just... Yeah, even my finger. You know, I remember, I think it was Cavella was driving me into the rail, and I put my hand out, broke my finger, well, dislocated it, and then the other side hit this one part, and I'm bleeding besides, so they had to stitch that and splint the other one. So I was a mess. You know?
And yet you continue to skate. I mean, you're only out of action just a minimal amount of time, and then you got to get back on the track. Is that right?
That's right. Oh, I was back in a day and a half, I think, on that one. They wrapped my hand. I think there's some film there, and my hand's all wrapped because they didn't want me to, the hook that they had on my finger, or the hook onto somebody's jersey or something like that. So they wrapped it up pretty good. I have to get back. My feet just don't stay still. It's like I had to get back. I wanted to get back.
How many games a week would you skate, Carol? When you guys were going full-time, how many games a week would you skate?
The majority of times, at least six games. Sometimes if it's a doubleheader, you add that on as an extra game. But we were lucky if we had one day off during the week.
And
sometimes we went straight through. You know, I wish I had my schedules before in front of me, because I did have them at one time.
Right.
I can't find them now. But I was looking and going, look where we are. And you know, and I'm not talking about the Bay Area. I'm talking also about on the road.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later on. I want to talk about some of those road games.
Yeah, in the Bay Area, we had at least six games. And if we had a doubleheader, that was seven games. It was a little hectic, but yet again.
Enjoyable.
You know, we loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
We loved it.
I know, when we say the Bay Area, I know that you would always skate Sunday in San Francisco, Keysar, Monday in San Jose, and then throughout the week, you would hit some of the other Bay Area cities, Oakland, San Francisco, or I'm sorry, Santa Rosa, Stockton, Sacramento, up to Reno, the Coliseum up there. I mean, you guys were moving around quite a bit.
Right.
It's a lot of driving.
And like I said, Manteca, down here in Manteca, too. We drove all over the place.
It's amazing.
And I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. But I like more traveling outside of California.
Sure.
To really get to see a lot more. And I love going down to Arizona. Oh, my gosh.
Where it's warmer. A little warmer.
A lot warmer. And it was beautiful down there.
Carol, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Carol Peanutsmeyer, a member of the San Francisco Bay Bombers. That's the original roller derby team. And Carol's going to be our guest throughout the day today. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 KSLM. We'll be back in just a minute. More with Carol Peanutsmeyer. She's back in the river. Yes, the Willamette Queen is back. Bigger, better than ever. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion, they are back, and they are operating year-round. Give the Willamette Queen a call, 503-371-1103. That's 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen. Hi, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo.
And this is Doc Nelson.
Hey, you know, I am on, Doc, every Saturday at 10 o'clock right here on KSLM. Do you ever listen?
Oh, all the time. I also know you're on Sundays and a repeat broadcast.
That's right. Sundays at 11 o'clock, you can hear me, and you never know who my guests are going to be.
They're always special.
Maybe even Doc Nelson.
I've been there.
There you go. So join us right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, KSLM, and 1220 AM. We're done, Doc.
Now?
Right now.
This is Donny Osmond. You're listening to my friend Terry Saul. By the way, have you seen Terry lately? He is dropping weight like crazy. I think he thought I was serious when I told him if he reached his goal weight by the time he came to Las Vegas to open for Louis Anderson in August, I would teach him how to sing Puppy Love. Whatever. Okay, so here's the deal. Terry's wife, Patty, emailed me. Terry is singing in the shower. Oh, that can't be good. Uh-uh. Here, Terry, have some pizza and a cheeseburger, please. Thank you.
back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today's special guest, a friend of mine, Carol Peanuts Meyer. She was a member of the original San Francisco Bay Bombers roller derby team. This is not the stuff we see today. This is the original roller derby team. They skated throughout the Bay Area, and then in the off season, they were on the road. And Carol, those road tours were a little bit rough, weren't they?
Oh, they were really rough.
I remember interviewing Ann Calvello one day, and she told me that she believed Jerry Seltzer just took a dart and threw it on a map, and wherever that landed, that's where the next game was going
to
be.
We used to tease him, because that's exactly how we go up one place, and then down south, and then back up north. It was back and forth, and you say, oh my gosh, people don't believe that. Well, the way we traveled, it's crazy.
Your boss, Jerry Seltzer, who was, his father actually invented roller derby back in 1935. In the 50s, the late 50s, Jerry took it over, and he was telling me that he really didn't want the derby, but his dad says, I'm going to close it down. You wanted it, it's yours. And so he just kind of kept it going, and he ran through the basically all of the 60s and into the 70s. Jerry, a good friend of yours?
I love Jerry. Jerry's more than a friend. I just love him. I love him to death, and he knows it. He's crazy about him.
I talked with him a couple of days ago, and I says, hey, I'm going to be interviewing Carol Meyer. And he says, Carol Meyer, and I wrote this down, and he says, the most imposing and skilled athlete in roller derby was the pivot skater who could jam, block, and control the game. And you pictured imposing athletes like Charlie O'Connell and Joan Weston as pivots. So it's hard to imagine that an under 5 foot of a woman, Carol Peanuts Myers, filling that position adequately. But she could. Maybe pound for pound, she was the best woman skater ever. He liked you.
Oh, yeah.
He
I
liked
love
it.
Jerry.
And
I enjoyed working with him. He gave me more of a chance to do what I wanted to do because I don't know, you know, he just gave it to me that just go out there and do your thing. And that's what I did.
One of the things I
love that man for letting me do that.
One of the things that Jerry said was, he says, you know, a lot of the skaters had a little bit of a diva attitude, but he said, not Peanuts. She went out there and she skated hard, and she did exactly what we asked her to do, and we never got any attitude from her. You know, when people understand the game, the pivot skater is normally the captain or co-captain or the coach of the team, and they're the ones that are controlling the front. But if they get something happens and they have to go out into a penalty or get injured or something, they have to give that position to somebody else. You wouldn't think twice of grabbing that black helmet and getting out there and holding your own against Jan Vallo, Ann Calvello, Sandy Dunn. It didn't matter. You held your own against them. You weren't intimidated?
No, I was intimidated. Hey, I grew up fighting with boys all the time. They didn't intimidate me. Why should they? You know, I was the tomboy of the neighborhood. You know, it was crazy, but I was the leader, actually. I had to go out, guys. The boys in the neighborhood would follow me. Like I said, in the projects, we had our own road derby game, but our track was cement.
Yes.
So if the cement didn't hurt me, the track isn't going to hurt.
I think all of us did that. I mean, I interviewed the great Charlie O'Connell a few years back before he passed, and he used to tell me the same thing, that he would go in a park. They had a park in New York City that they would skate around.
Yeah.
I remember we had a church right behind us that had an oval-shaped cement slab, and we skated on that. We had our games.
Skated against the kids on the other side of the neighborhood. They had their team, we had our team.
Really?
And the way our parking lot was, we decided who would skate where, and we had fun, though. You know, we didn't have money, but we had a lot of fun.
That's it. Carol Myers, you were skating as number 34 for the Bay Bombers when you first started, and then you met this guy by the name of Tony, and he was number 37. Something happened between you and Tony. What happened?
We became boyfriend and girlfriend.
Aha.
Uh-huh. And the thing is I don't know if he knew me because we never talked about it, but I knew him by watching him when he first came out. I saw him skating. But at the time, he was seeing another skater. And, of course, I was seeing another skater. And I can tell by the way, I don't know what it was, but I could tell that. I said, oh, boy, I'd like to go out with him. It happened. It happened in a strange way because he ended up going back home to New York. And then my friend who skated also was Jerry Abatello. They were good friends with Tony. So Tony kind of went through Jerry to get me there to her house, and then he called me from back New York, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he said that he'd like to have more of a relationship because we kind of like hung out together with the Abatellos and the Chumps and everything, you know. Then he left and went back home. Well, I thought that was the end of it. I didn't think anything much of it, but I thought about him a lot. And then when he came out to California, I think Jerry had asked him if he was, if we were like a couple. We said, no, we're just friends. And then he was put on the Bombers, and we ended up being more than friends, getting married and everything, which kind of didn't shock people, but yet.
Wait a minute. You married Tony Roman. Do you know how many hearts?
Tony Roman.
That's what I said.
Oh, it sounded like you said Tony Roma.
No, Tony Roman. You broke my brother's heart. And I'm telling you, and he's a couple years older than I was. I remember when I first started working for David Lipschultz doing the games, you and Tony were still skating there, and my brother came down to a game, and as you were coming off the track, he's telling me, he goes, there she is. And I said, well, go up and say hello. And he goes, no. And I stopped you both, and I says, can I get a picture with you and my brother? And you were so wonderful. You put your arm around him, and I thought, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You're killing this guy. He loved Carol Peanuts-Meyer for years. And it was funny because when we were, just before he passed away, we were talking one day at his hospital room there, and we were just talking about life in general. And I says, what are some of your fond memories? He says, well, I met Willie Mays, and he says, and I got my picture taken with Carol Meyer. You broke a lot of hearts by marrying that Tony guy.
Well, you know what was really funny is that Tony, you know, of course, being from New York, and then he lived down in L.A., for some reason, I forgot what it was. He was living with Jerry and Joe Chump. We were seeing each other off and on. And then one day he said, you got to come over tomorrow, blah, or I forgot what day it was. He said, you got to come over. I said, why? He said, well, when you get here, I'll tell you. You know, I didn't think nothing of it anyway, so thought it was just going to be another day or going out and maybe having fun or dinner or whatever. So we get over there, and I get over to the Chumps, and Tony said, come on, let's go. And I said, go where? He goes, I'll take you someplace. I'm going to show you something. So we went out, and it was a store, and I can't remember what store it was. I think it was, I know it was a jewelry store. Tony had this ring that he always wore, and sometimes he'd get it cleaned and everything. So that's what I thought he was doing. We went in there, and he says, come over here. And as we're going over there, this gentleman comes out, and he's got these rings, engagement rings, which I wasn't paying attention. And he looked at me, and he says, okay, pick out your ring. I said, what are you talking about? He says, pick out your engagement ring. I want to marry you. I punched him.
Carol, you're not supposed to act that way.
I said, because it kind of angered me the way he did it. And I said, what are you doing it like this for? And I didn't want him to get down on his hands and knees, but he said, well, that's exactly what he said. What do you want me to do, get down my hands and knees? I said, no, it's just the way he did it.
Carol, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest, the rough and tough Carol Meyer. You ask her to marry you, she's going to knock you on your rear.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM. We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
This segment of the Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. All aboard the Willamette Queen at the Salem Riverfront Park in downtown Salem. Enjoy a riverboat experience reminiscent of the days when travel on the Willamette River was only by steam-powered sternwheel boats. Relive Oregon's historic past while enjoying elegant dining and a relaxing, leisurely voyage. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion cruise. They're open year-round. Call for more details, 503-371-1103. That number again for the Willamette Queen is 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen. Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Our sponsor today, of course, is the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. And next time you plan an event, plan on the Willamette Queen, 503-371-1103, the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. Our guest today, someone that I've wanted to interview for a long, long time, Carol Peanuts-Meyer. She was a member of the original San Francisco Bay Bombers, the original roller derby. We're talking the roller derby of the 50s, 60s, 70s. She's joining us online from her home in California. Carol, you weren't always the Bay Bomber, though. There was a short time where you jumped ship and went to the Chicago Pioneers. Is that right?
That's something that Tony wanted to do. It wasn't my idea.
No, but it didn't last long. The fans wanted you in the Bay Area.
That's right. I wanted to be back to the Bay Area. Yeah. I love the fans in the Bay Area.
Carol, you and you both, you and your late husband,
and Tony were fan favorites. Seemed like no matter where you go, you were fan favorites. Even when you were not supposed to be fan favorites, you were. I remember seeing Tony skate some games back in Madison Square Garden in New York, and he was not the home team, but yet the fans still loved him. They still love Tony.
Yeah, we noticed that no matter where we went, if it was down south, or north, east, west, the fans love Tony. And me too.
Exactly.
They love Tony. They just love the Bombers and certain people, and we were one of them, and it made me happy too.
Did you enjoy the fans? Are you a fan favorite? Well, no, wait a minute. I know you're a fan favorite, but do you enjoy the fans? Because I never saw you ever turn away from a photograph or an autograph. You always stopped and would sign and talk with the folks. Did you enjoy your fans?
Yes, we enjoyed the fans. Sometimes we didn't have time to stop, but after we came out of the dressing room, we'd be around the fans taking pictures and everything because they're the ones that keep us going too.
Sure.
The only time that we had problems, if we had to hurry up and get to the next time, but we still tried to catch at least some of our fans. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd be going out to the car and still signing autographs or whatever, taking pictures. You know, they loved it. And if it wasn't for them, you know, where would we be?
I remember one of the games at the ballpark, the San Jose ballpark. It was Labor Day. You guys would always have a softball game out on the field. Everybody would bring their picnics and just kind of hang out. And all of a sudden, here comes Peanuts Myers up to the bat there, and they pitch the ball there, and you tackle that thing, and it's like, that little woman right there put that ball clear out there in center field. And as you're going around second base, oh, it shocked me. I'm sitting there going, my gosh, look at that. And my brother's going, that's my Carol. And you rounded second base, and you slid into second base there. And Ken Monty, one of the coaches of the other team, walked over, and he's standing on your feet so you couldn't get up.
Yes.
And the crowd's booing him. And it's like, you know, he was still in character, standing on your feet there. And finally circled the bases, and you came home, and you sat right next to us. And we've got it on videotape there. And I'm going, yep, she's sitting right next to us. Did you realize then what you guys were to these fans? I mean, these fans looked up to you folks.
Yes and no. You know, we realized that, you know, the enjoyment. I mean, the crowds were, they were fantastic. They were so good with you. Just to make them happy made us happy. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Those games, like you said, that we had at San Jose, I look forward to that. Because then you really were able to meet some of those people that were out there clapping for you, you know, rooting you and everything. And they just enjoyed it so much. So did I. You know, a lot of us did. There was a few that were, like, kind of shy. And if you noticed being shy, a lot of us were shy people.
Oh.
I would never raise my hand up in a classroom for you to answer something.
I'm on the radio. I do my stand-up comedy where I'm on stage in front of thousands of people, but I'm still very shy. I am extremely shy. And I think that, you know.
And I don't know why.
I don't either, because my mother was not shy, that's for sure. I remember watching. You guys would come out, the teams would come out about 10, 15 minutes before the game, and each team would have a little pregame warm-up where they would go skate around. You guys used to call it the warm-up, but it really was a chance for the fans to come up to the track and get their favorite skater to sign an autograph. I remember many times seeing Tony, your husband, pick up a child, a small baby, and skate around a couple of times. I mean, you guys just really enjoyed working the fans as well as they loved being there.
And I remember that day with that little girl, that little baby, the people asked us. And normally, I didn't think about it, but maybe during that time we shouldn't have. But yet again, it was something that we enjoy doing. You know?
Nowadays, the liability would jump right out and say, wait a minute. No, we don't want to do that. Yeah. We don't want to do that. Carol, I don't want to bring up a downer, but you lost Tony.
Yeah.
He passed away way too soon. When did Tony pass, and how did he, what did he die from?
He had a tumor on the tail end of his spine.
Okay.
So he could, we never knew what it was from, but they thought maybe it was from skating and falling, but it wasn't that type of a tumor. I forgot the name of it now after all these years. It like crippled him. He couldn't walk after a while. He just couldn't walk. He had to be helped up and sort of carried if we had to take him into the bathroom or anything like that. It was really a sad situation because Tony was a go-getter. He was a fantastic dancer. And I remember,
he was in a hell of a shape, too.
Yes, and you know what? His shape, everybody used to say the muscles on him, he never lifted weights.
Oh, get out of here. Seriously?
No, I swear, no. His father was the same way. Father was built the same way.
Wow.
He never lifted weights. It was just a normal thing. The only muscles or if you want is just blocking.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that he used them muscles for. But he had the natural physique. His father was the same way. Now, his brother, who was 6'5 and a half.
What?
Yes, his brother was 6'5 and a half.
Because Tony wasn't 6'5. What was Tony about? 5?
Actually 5'3.
And a half.
and no. No, 5'3. See, and everybody goes, do they have the same parents?
Yeah.
And we said, yeah, because on both sides, they both had tall brothers.
Wow.
So it was from the same family. You know, when you see them, they go, that can't be his brother. And I said, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's no getting away from it. But like I said, it was on both sides. His mom had an uncle that was 6'2". So
wow.
That right there.
And
that
like,
was like Mutt and Jeff.
Like you, Carol, Tony was, he was fearless out there on the track. He may be 5'4", 5'3", whatever you said he was, but on that track there, he was every bit as tall and as big as those other guys because he didn't back down from anyone. He went after
everyone. He was very strong. Yeah. Like I said, his muscles were natural. They weren't anything with lifting weights. It was natural. He was just built that way.
See, now I don't like him. let's talk about...
Everybody thought, they always said, does he lift weights? Never.
Well, you know, I remember I was talking to your son Mark about it, and Mark, who looks so much like his father, and I remember I says, how often did your dad work out? And he says, never. And I go, get out of here, Mark. He goes, no, he really didn't. Yeah. And I was like, ah.
I would tell you the truth, he never did. Everybody was... They look at you like, yeah, right. Like I said, it was coming down the line. His father was built the same, only taller, you know. That was the only thing. His father was like 5'7".
Well, roller derby had not only the big guys, but it had some of the shorter people, such as Tony. There's also some skaters that were just unbelievably talented skaters. Charlie O'Connell, he was your coach and captain for many, many, many years. I interviewed Charlie, not the easiest guy to talk to, but...
No, he isn't. I can tell you that right now. You're lucky you have to say anything.
Well, you know, it took some doing. We had to, yes. He had a restaurant there, and we had to go down there several times to get him to finally agree to it, but he had some heck of a stories, but there was hardly anything he couldn't do on skates when he wanted to, right?
No, there wasn't anything. See, I remember Charlie, and I told him about this when he was on the Westerners. I hated him. I'd do anything. You know, the Cow Palace, if you remember the Cow Palace where the skaters go through these big openings and everything.
Right.
To go behind the curtains. Us kids, project kids, had sodas that people left behind, and we fill it up more with little water. And when they go through them curtains, we used to tip them all over at once. Charlie got a lot of it. And when I told him years
that
later,
you were one of them?
He said, you? See, he goes, I would expect that, but you did that, mate. He laughed.
Yeah.
He thought it was the funniest thing.
Charlie thought the world of you, though. He liked you a lot, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he loved Tony, too.
Yeah.
He loved Tony. He was in the back of Tony's funeral crying. Nobody knew that he was back there. I knew he was back there. He just couldn't come up. He just couldn't. He adored Tony. Tony used to make him laugh, and I mean laugh. In fact, you'd hear the guys laughing because Tony should have been a comedian.
Yeah.
Besides, you know what I'm saying? He had a wit with words, and he'd come out and say something. And then Charlie would get up. Tony would run off and say someplace. Charlie's going to beat him up.
I don't know, though. Tony would hold his own. I've seen him go after some of the bigger guys. He went after Jerry Cattell and would hold his own.
No, I'm not telling him about beating him up. But, you know, like, pounce on him. He's like, you know, but he'd love to tease Charlie.
Yeah.
And us girls, too. Us girls.
There's a gal. You mentioned her earlier name, and she ended up being one of my favorite people to deal with because I loved her interviews because you never knew what was going to happen. You never knew what was going to come out of her mouth. Ann Calvello. She would dye her hair a different color every week. The very first time I ever did a game was in Richmond where I was doing the play-by-play. She intimidated me so much, and then after, at halftime, she just walked up and she says, I'm just playing with you. You're okay. She became my friend right up until her last day, and she was a lot of fun. Did you enjoy working with her?
I enjoyed. I would rather skate with her than anybody. Skate with her or against her. She was one of them. I mean, there was many others, too. But, I mean, I just adored Annie. Because what she said, I mean, she'd come out and tell you, 1, 2, 3. She'd tell you right to your face and not behind your back.
Right.
In other words.
Right.
You know. But she was the easiest person to skate with. Not the easiest to skate against. Because when she kicked you hard. I mean, I have bruises. And the thing is, I think, like, Tony used to say, I used to say to him, God, her elbows, man, they hit me in the chest. And he goes, that's because she takes it from pencil sharpener, sharpens them up for the game. And that's what she would do and joke about it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she had bony elbows. Oh, gosh, I had bruises constantly. But I enjoyed skating against her. It's just a lot of things, you know, she'd step on you and things like that. What are you going to do? You know, that's just part of your job.
My wife is into quilting, and we made her, you know, Annie was, of course, into lions, and my wife made her a lion quilt. Yeah. She had that right up to the end there, and she was just such a sweetheart. Like I say, I did an interview with her and Joan Weston one night, television interview, and we had to tape it three times because neither Joan or myself could keep it straight, because she would start in, would just, where are you going to go with her? You just let her go. You just totally let her go because you're going to have a great time with her, and we used to enjoy that. We're going to take a quick break here. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. We got more with Carol Peanuts Myers from the San Francisco Bay Bombers. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio stations. We are 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in a moment.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM. In 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back with our final few minutes today. Our guest has been Carol Peanuts Meyer from the San Francisco Bay Bombers, the original roller derby. I'm so glad to have her with us. Carol, we were talking a little bit before. When people came up to you and say, well, roller derby's not real, did you show them the bruises to prove them that, yeah, hey, it really is? When Ann Cavella was hitting me with her bony elbows, it hurt?
I did more than that. I showed them where I had my stitches in my head, 13 heads ramming my head into the upright.
I remember one time I was interviewing somebody. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Joan Weston. I remember talking to her, and I says, you know, Joan, I've interviewed some tough guys that said, oh, roller derby is fake. I remember saying to them, get up on that track and try and go four laps with somebody like Joni Weston or Carol Peanuts Meyer or Mike Gammon and see if you can last four laps with them. It's not easy to skate that track and do what you guys used to do.
They don't know how you have to skate the track. They just think you just get on and skate. It's not like being in the street. But it's a different ride on that track, and it's much faster than it is on the street.
So much more I want to talk to you about, so I'm going to kind of move along here. Sure. There's a gentleman that gave me my start, not only doing play-by-play for the roller derby, but also gave me my start in broadcasting. He lived around the corner from us in San Jose. I played on Little League with his son, Walter Jr., the great Walt Harris. We've lost him last year. He was an incredible announcer, made the game, I think, what it was back then. He told me he loved Carol Meyer and Tony Roman, two of his all-time favorites, he would say. Did you get along good with Walt?
We loved Walt. He was, I guess, you know, he was more than just the announcer. He was more like a friend. Because even after the game or anything, you know, we'd sit and yik-yak maybe a little bit. In fact, we have gatherings in at a certain place in San Leandro, and we invited Walt Harris there. He didn't know that we had all as many skaters as we can. And when he walked through the door, we all stood up and clapped.
Yes.
And the tears in his eyes. He was so happy. And everybody came up and hugged him, kissed him, asked for his autograph on their picture because they wanted something from him. It was prior to him passing away. And he had the best time of his life. He just thanked us more than once. And he also online, he would tell me how wonderful it was and everything. We loved the man.
Yeah.
We'd make fun of him like Andy Cavella would.
Sure.
You know, we actually loved that man.
You know what I liked just about Walt?
The nicest man.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. You just said it. He was a nice guy.
Nicest.
He was just a nice guy.
He was an everyday Joe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was just like that. He never had his chest sticking out because I'm an announcer. He was just like an everyday person. And you couldn't help but like him.
Exactly.
You know? And like I said, Cavella used to tease him a lot, but he loved it.
Sure he did. Let's look at some of the other skaters that you skated with and against. A gal that would give you a run for your money and you stayed upright with her was Judy McGuire. She was about the same size of you. You skated with her for many years. You skated against her for many years.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Judy McGuire and her husband, Mike Gammon, who also would pretty much be compared to Tony Roman?
Fantastic skaters, both of them. Both great athletes besides. And, you know, we go for together, foot by foot, skate back and forth, up and down. It didn't make any difference. That Mike Gammon was a fantastic skater. Gosh, Mike had so much talent.
Mike said in an interview when Mike and Tony were on the same team that when they would go out on the jam together, they had to make sure that they didn't run into each other because they were so, yes, they had to stay out of each other's way.
Yes, they were, you can't take it away from that Mike, man.
Yeah.
You have a few fantastic skaters, and you have the all-around skaters, but Mike was a fantastic skater. He inherited them feet, man.
But he started amazing. As a child, though. I mean, he was he was skating before he was walking.
I think so, yes.
Did you get along good with Judy McGuire?
Yes, we got along good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's sometimes we got a little antsy, little problems, but nothing that was that big.
Because, Carol, I got to tell you, I was watching a game. I was at a game, and you guys were both up on the rail there, and she said something to you, and the referee turned and walked away, and you clobbered her. How rude, right?
How rude.
I always want to know, what did she say to get clobbered? But I bet she didn't say it a second time.
It's been so long. Who knows?
Who were some of the other skaters that you enjoyed skating? Did you like Jan Vallo? She was a tough skater.
Oh, God, I love Jan skating against Vallo. I really do. I really did. I like skating with her or against her. Skating with her was even better because she thought of nothing. She'd say, I'm going to pick you up and throw you over. And she did. Yeah. I mean, she actually picked me up and threw me over, and she laughed because she said, I didn't think you were going to go over, but I did.
Wow.
You know, but when she said she's going to do something, but she was, how would you say, she was a fantastic skater. She really didn't like to hurt anybody where they got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That bothered her, where Covello don't bother her. You know, you deserved it, type of thing. Jan would, you know, she just, did I hurt you? Well, part of the game, you get hurt no matter what you do.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
You could be standing there alone and you get hurt. But Covello, she didn't care.
Joan Weston told me, we were on a plane one day going to Texas. Her and I were to call a game down there. On the flight down there, she used to tell me that you guys had, it was you, Francine Cochoux, Joni Weston on the bomber team there. I think maybe Sue Fregolia. But you guys had interesting names for the plays. They used to be your pets' names. She said she'd look over at you and she'd say, I don't know, Sparky or something. And you knew what that meant. It was
not,
Yeah.
Well, that was the best way to keep it.
Is that the way you guys knew it? So by your pets' names?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, because then who's going to know?
Well, what happens then when all of a sudden you switch teams and you go with the same pet, then the other team's going to know.
No, then it gets changed. Everybody had their own thing. You know, everybody had their own thing. You know, but with Joni, it was pets. You know, we call Malia, and that was her little dog.
That's funny.
Malia. So.
With our final 2 minutes we have left here, Carol Penis Myers from the Bay Bombers there. Roller Derby closed in 73. And then there was a few, I guess maybe outline or outlaw leagues that try to keep it going and stuff. It didn't really success too much after that. David Lipschultz had the IRSL for a few years, skated for them for a while. Do you miss the action and skating it, you know, all the fun?
My body doesn't, but my feet do.
Are you sore? Do you hurt from skating?
No. Back then, you
No, I mean now. I mean, do you have any existing injuries that, this still hurts?
Well, I got a fake knee. That's the thing that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
So stiff in the morning. I do have the aches and pains in my shoulders. I had them operated on, so they're a little stiff in the morning. And then I wonder, you know, maybe if it's old age for crying out loud, but my back really hurts me. But like I said, I don't know if it's from the skating. I don't know if it's from not skating, because your body was so, adjusted to all the movement and everything like that, you know, up and down and whatever. And now you just kind of sit home and do nothing. That's what I attribute to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really doing what I used to do where I kept in shape, you know, and where am I going to go do it?
Carol, did you make a lot of money? Was there good money to be made in roller derby back in the day?
If you were a good tough skater, yes, there was. There was good money. That's how I was able to buy the place down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was from roller derby.
One last question before we run here,
sure.
But you skated pregnant.
Yes.
What's the matter with you?
I didn't know.
Did you skate pregnant with you have, four children, twins, and then two other kids?
It was just the first one.
Okay. How long were you pregnant while you were skating?
I think I was like 2.5 months, 3 months. I didn't know.
You didn't know you were pregnant, or you didn't know you shouldn't do that?
I didn't know both. I didn't know, and I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And then when Tony found out, he goes, what? And I go, I went to the doctor, I'm pregnant. You can't be skating.
That's funny.
You know, of course, not with the twins. That was a big surprise.
That was a oops?
But that was more than an oops.
That was a double oops.
God.
What is your best memory ever about skating roller derby. For me, it was the very first time that I got the opportunity to announce a game in Madison Square Garden. I mean, come on.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because you heard so much about Madison Square Garden with every other thing. I got chills when I walked into Madison Square Garden, although I didn't expect it to look the way it did. Not inside, the outside. You know, first game, and we walked in, I just got chills all over my body. I made it to the Madison Square Garden. You hear so much about Madison Square Garden, blah, 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 constantly. You know, I'm a kid from the projects. Come on, you know, I'm at Madison Square Garden.
When I first did my first game there, we were on ESPN during that ESPN deal that they were doing, and it was live. And I remember called my mom in Denver at halftime. I go, Mom, you watching the game? She goes, yes, and straighten your tie. It's a little crooked. It's like, once a mom, always a mom, okay?
Oh, yes.
Well, Carol, we are just about out of time, but would you do me a favor? Can we do this again? I've got 1,000 more questions I want to ask you, and I would love to do this again with you sometime. Stay on the line here when we hang up here. We'll chat a little bit afterwards, but you are one of my favorite skaters, and I've always enjoyed. I will tell you this, that the very first game I ever announced was in Richmond, California, and at halftime, I remember you skated by me and you said, you're doing a good job, calm down. And I thought, you know what, now I see why my brother's in love with this woman, because she's awesome. Carol, come back and join us again.
Okay.
We'll do this again.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks, and we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.